Here we go.
They call themselves
Heroes Asylum.
Uno, morons.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum.
Hold up, sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say that is a rad intro. Like, I'm just in awe of what you can do, especially production-wise, when you just by adding like a little splicer like that, it literally just goes. It just speaks volumes. But I'm sorry.
Oh no, no, we're finding our feet again. So you and I gotta get that connection going.
Yeah, we gotta feel each other out.
Yeah, easy there. Easy there.
Well, not that. You know what line I'm thinking of, right? The Naked Gun. I think it was Naked Gun 2 or 3. I'm not sure where he's I think he's talking to Priscilla Presley. He leaves and then he's walking and he wanders somewhere else and he's like. Like a blind man at an orgy, I had to feel my way through. I'm like, God, I love Naked Gun. Good evening, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Not much. Enjoying the Daredevil. I know. We started last week talking about that. Kind of our theme right now.
Yeah, we won't go into like Daredevil again, but yeah. I'll just do a couple quick minutes on it. Did you see episode 3 yet?
Yeah.
Just upped it from episode 2. Like, it was not as action-packed as episode 3. It was more of a courtroom drama, which kind of gave me, like, Law and Order vibes. And, like, a good courtroom drama. It shows, like, Matt Murdock having his freaking lawyer skills. And the other guy, the prosecutor guy who was for the cops, you know, he even presented, like, just, like, a really good argument for the cops, even though they're corrupt as hell. But I just like to have that side where it's normally in procedural shows like that, you'll have like the one dominant person who's like the main character. And of course, he's going to have the best dialogue and the best lines. And of course, he's going to win the case. But in this purpose, Matt had great lines. And so did this prosecutor. He was just as strong. And I like when you have that duality of, you know, the good and the bad and good and evil and all that stuff. And it's just like, OK, I can see both points. And I like when they do something like that.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I liked it too. I'm not a big courtroom drama fan, so I wasn't. You know, that part of the show doesn't always gets me. But no, so I just have to ask you one question. Red herring at the end.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Okay. Me too. I was like,
yeah, like no way.
And
no
the only
way.
only reason I'm saying that is at the end of last shows we were talking about the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking it is, like, you know, a cult. Because wasn't there a cult of Punisher at one point?
I believe there was a cult of Punishers, yeah.
So I almost could kind of see them kind of dipping into that aspect of it, especially seeing how political they've been on the show.
Yeah, like they're not shying away from anything.
No, no, not at all, no. And that's why, when I saw that, I was like, ooh. That looks that looks like something.
And plus, he didn't walk like Frank, man. I don't know. Like, Frank has a certain walk, and he didn't really walk like Frank.
Yeah.
This guy looked like he was just a dude wearing, like, a Punisher cosplay and just walked away. That's not Frank. Frank has more purpose when he kills.
Yeah.
He's not going to just cap you and just walk. So definitely a red herring. I don't see that. But I'm looking forward to episode 4. Like I said, it's good. It's getting better each week. Kingpin doing Kingpin stuff behind the scenes. Matt being Matt, great story. Sucks about the White Tiger. I kind of liked him. You know, unfortunately, the actor in real life, you know, he did pass away, I think, last year. But he said something at the beginning when he was like, I'm half Puerto Rican. So when he was talking about the story about the Coquís, because I used to go to Puerto Rico when I was very younger. And my aunt used to tell me that story. Same exact story that... I forgot his name in the show. He's telling Matt about, like, you know, the Coquís, and when they make sound, they literally are just chanting their own name, like, Coquí, Coquí. And like at the middle of the night when they're doing that, it's like a sound of like a mating call. It was a really cool, cute little story they mentioned there about the island. So I kind of dug that. Throw my heritage out there.
Very cool. All right. So what's your plan for today? I mean,
so continuing the rebirth month, we are going to do, last week we did TVs with Daredevil, as you said. Now we're going into films. And basically, my idea is this. You take an existing franchise, which has been around for a while. They did one movie. or like somewhere within the trilogy or whatnot. Like, this is, hey, okay, this movie was like made, but it was so bad. Like, oh man, I never want to see this movie again. But then they, you know, rebooted it or redid it again. And you saw it like, wow, how great is that? Like, it made you love that certain IP franchise again. And that's what we're doing today. We're finding movies that were absolute garbage when the first time you saw it, and it's an existing franchise, to a movie that rebooted it and made it like, okay, they're back.
Yeah. So I'm sure you have one like brewing already.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Okay, I'm gonna go first. The first one is Ghostbusters 2016, the Lady Ghostbusters. I didn't hate this movie because there were chicks in it. Okay. Because some of the chicks in there, all the women in there, I like as comedians. They're very funny. Like, Melissa McCarthy is really funny. Leslie Jones has points where she can be really funny. I forgot the other lady's name. Primus Hasworth is in this movie. Thor! He was probably the best part of this movie. Now, the only thing I have issue with this movie, like, if they never called it Ghostbusters, it would have been fine. If they never attached it to the original series, it would have been fine. But when you literally say that, and we saw that trailer where it said in 1984, blah, 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 took place. And one thing I don't like when you make movies like this from a franchise is you crap on the past. Like, you just basically, it never happened. You had cameos from Aykroyd, Bill Murray. I don't think Ernie Hudson was in that movie. Could be mistaken. Mike, you might have to correct me on that. But they appeared in cameos. They weren't their characters. They were just somebody else. And then you have the nerve to attach a post-credit scene to it, teasing Gozer. I was livid watching this movie. Livid. But then, I think it was 10 or 11, maybe 8 years later, then we get something like Ghostbusters Afterlife. And I think you saw it first before I did. And you're like, dude, the wet works. I'm like, yeah, right. What are you talking about? I walk in there. Not only is it good, but it hits in the right places. Yes, they kind of like do the same thing over again, like from the first film, which is fine. But it doesn't take place in the city. I think it takes place in Kentucky or some kind of rural area. But the storytelling was so good. It was so heartfelt. And it attached to the original trilogy. And then you brought in Bill Murray and like the original OG Ghostbusters towards the end. But really, in that movie, did you need it? No, but it was nice. It was a nice little hidden nugget you get in there. You kind of brought that, and it kind of brought the love for Ghostbusters back for me. So that's my first one. 2016's Ghostbusters, garbage. Ghostbusters Afterlife, great.
All right, yeah, I could definitely see those. I had my tangents on.
More than a few.
2016 Ghostbusters. And again, it's the same thing. Basically what you said. It's, hey, you know what? They were here to, you know, they teased us this whole, you know, them coming back. And then nothing. I was like, what is this? So you're ignoring the past. And I mean, you'll see it throughout what we're talking about is everyone that seems to survive and thrive and bring back a franchise, they pay homage to what came before. I know we used to talk about Cobra Kai. We said, you know, they were the ones that really brought it back for that, you know, in a television series. But it was going on before that. In fact, the one I'm going to mention is Rocky. I mean, you're talking about probably one of the biggest and best movies. I mean, we talk off of Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3. They all are great. You know, we get to 4, Drago, but then we get to 5, and we're introduced to Tommy Gunn.
Tommy Gunn.
All right. And then, just killed the franchise right there. But then decades later, we get Balboa, which is literally a love story to the first movie, because you get a lot of shadowing of things that happen. You get little Marie showing up, you know, and our good friend Steve-O, he had a girlfriend, Marie. We're still good friends with Marie. She's my little sister. But we always used to, when we were all living together, we always used to make that comment, yo, little Marie, get the meat. Get the meat. And so it's like, and it just like this, that movie just breathed life back into, I mean, Stallone wasn't struggling. I mean, he had some movies going on, but I think it sort of like revived his career as well, because I think that's when we started getting like the Expendables and things like, you know, that. And, but it wasn't Rambo before that? I think Rambo was after.
I think it was after.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah, I'm not
that's
sure. They're like kind of crossover.
Another good one. That is
another good one. Yeah, it's on my list. As well.
If you have not watched Rambo,
I
think it's called Rambo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just Rambo. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very violent. That's all I'm going to say.
But again, it's one of those ones that it comes back around. It kind of bookends the first movie, because in the first movie, you know, he's on his way home. He's just stopping by visiting his war buddies on his way home to his dad's place. And then at the end of, you know, Rocky, or at the end of Rambo, his last scene you see is him coming home finally, you know, a Vietnam vet, you know, who's been missing for decades, you know, has finally decided to come home. But again, like I said, yeah, with Balboa, yeah, it just breathed new life into that franchise. And then, you know, it branches out into Creed, you know, and like, just launches another career with, you know, some great ones. And I give it a decade or so, we're going to see the revitalization of Creed, because right now it's kind of dipping a little.
Yeah, it is. Quality-wise, it is. Although I did like the last Creed. It was good, but it just wasn't like the... I don't know. It was just... I think it was just missing Rocky.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think it missed Stallone a little bit. Even if he's not a main guy, he's got to be in that ether, in that world. He's got to be around. You can't kill him. He's still there. You can make him like you can literally make him the Mickey of this new universe. Like, imagine him like he trained, you know, Creed.
Yeah.
Imagine he's training, like he opens like Mickey's gym again, and like he's training the next generation of fighters. I think that'd be kind of cool. But I think that's what was missing from Creed 3. Good, just not on that level. And to get back onto Balboa, like you said, very eloquently, it bookends the series very well. The scenes are hard. It's like everything just made sense. Even like the scene where he's talking to his son, where his son is embarrassed to be a, you know, oh, you know, how hard it is to be a Balboa, live in your shadow. And then Rocky just goes right back at his son, just saying, you know, how hard life is and you have to get yourself up or get beat up. It's one of the great scenes of all time. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and watch it. Really good. And basically, his son is just looking at him, not yelling, just kind of like staring at him. As his father said, look, I love you, man. But you know what? This is just the way it is. You know, you got to keep fighting and keep going. And they kept that Rocky spirit alive. Like, the fight in that movie didn't even matter. Didn't matter. It was all about Stallone and his relationships with everybody there. And then, like you said, it just branched off the Creed. But great choice, by the way. And Rocky 4, oh, I mean 5, the less to said, the better. The less. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I just can't. I can't bring myself to say anything. The only thing I'll say is this. When he, like, somehow he lost all his money, freaking Paulie, and then he's living back in Philly, and just I didn't get it. Didn't get it. But, oh, I guess I'm next, right?
Yes, sir.
So this movie I'm going to talk about next completely killed not only the franchise, but I'm going to give you a spoiler. It killed comic book movies for a long time. Like, it killed it. It was... I remember when I walked into the theater with a couple buddies of mine, and I am stoked. I am excited. I'm like, yes. I saw the trailers. And I'm going to give it away. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in, Uma Thurman. Okay, George Clooney's the new Batman. That's fine. It's okay. The new Batmobile, okay, I didn't like it. It's fine. We're going to have a good... I walked in there. You know me. You sat there while we watched The Rise of Skywalker. Watching this movie gave me convulsions. I was livid. That night, I remember going to Buddy's house and I got getting so drunk, passing out. If you look in the archives, we did it. It is Batman and Robin. If you want more thoughts on it, like I said, go to the archives. We did a whole movie watch along to it. I was completely hammered watching it. Then Jones joined in the fun about 20 minutes later because he couldn't even avoid the horror of that movie. It was just like, it's just so bad at so many levels. I can't even say more things that have already been said. I mean, what else can I say of how bad this movie is? And he, as a person on the other side who tried to defend it for 15 minutes, you couldn't even defend it. But alas, from garbage, which was that, comic book movies are dead. Batman is dead until 2001. And that was when Batman Begins came out.
Now, I have a little something to say here.
Okay.
This is not rebuilding a franchise.
But it's rebooting a character that was dead.
It's rebooting a character. Yeah, I thought we were talking about franchises because that's a whole different universe.
No, I wasn't going there. My bad. I'm just saying at that time. Yeah, I wasn't saying like, "Oh, it destroyed everything." And then like Batman Begins. No. I'm saying as far as in that ethos of that world, it killed that character. It killed that franchise. But Batman Begins brought it back. And it brought it back to a level where it made Batman like what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be feared. He's supposed to be there. And it brought like backstory, like where it didn't, like in the comics, Batman's origin is pretty, it depends what you read. Cause it's like all, it's kind of like all over the place. There was no definitive, I mean, the pearls and his mom dying, his parents dying, that's always part of it. But as far as like the training goes, like we never knew where he went. How did he learn how to fight like that? How did he learn how to disappear? In this movie, it shows, it introduces the League of Assassins, Ra's al Ghul, which I never thought they would ever choose as a villain in any movie, played by Liam Neeson, so good. Spoiler. And then you had a lot of good actors in it, who, like, you know, Cillian Murphy plays Scarecrow. You had Michael Caine as Alfred. Dude, Morgan Freeman as Lucius Fox, come on. Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon. Like, the names go on and on. And plus, this franchise built actors into it, like, as far as, like, supporting roles. It made Batman grounded. It made him what he was supposed to be. Not quite the detective, but it was, like, a year one type of thing. Like, everything grounded from the Batmobile to the Batcave to how he got, like, all his gadgets, you know, his purpose for Gotham. And it just gave me, like, okay, you know what? Batman is back. And since then, you know, he's had, like, a couple, not really ups and downs, but he's kind of, like, maintained. He hasn't really, you know, Dark Knight got him to that next level, but that's more Heath Ledger, I think. But he's kind of stayed in that. He's not gone down to crap. Even the Batman, for what you say of it, I liked it. You know, not as good as a Dark Knight to me, but still good. But he's, Batman has kept his, you know, his, basically he's still in the ethos. He's still in pop culture there, and he hasn't really dipped since then. So Batman and Robin to Batman.
Definitely, I can see those. So I have to ask you then, since we're talking about Batman, what do you think about, like, to me, watching the State Farm commercial that's just been released, folks? If nobody has seen this, to me, this is a reversion, a rebirth of a franchise. It's got probably one of the coolest Batman I've ever seen. Like, his outfit, spot on. The fucking Riddler, comic book accurate, little Jim Carrey in the as far as like, you know, like at the beginning of Jim Carrey's,
yeah.
The Two-Face, spot on Two-Face. SZA as Catwoman, which I just that was hysterical, and then of course the best Joker I have ever seen,
best comic book accurate Joker I've seen.
Like, it's scary as shit.
Yeah, like the Jokers we've seen, Heath Ledger's Joker was scary to a point. Jax was not really scary. I mean, Jared, come on, he looked like a hooligan. But this one, he looked like he had like the hair and like the eyes and like the smile. Like, it looked like he was straight from the Arkham games. That's what it looked like. I'm like, holy crap. And it was not the quickest commercial. It's very fast. And like, God, they captured Gotham and Batman in literally like what, 2 minutes?
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's and State Farm did it. It's like, how did you? I was like, all I kept thinking is, God, I hope James Gunn is watching.
I hope so. Yeah, I do. I was like, if you're gonna make that Batman, that Gotham, do that.
Yeah,
that's like, and that would fit perfectly with the what I've seen of the Superman trailer and all that. Like, that fits right in there. You're not going any lighter, not going any darker. It's just like right in that area, and you need it to be like that.
Yeah, they haven't haven't announced who played the Batman though. That's the one thing.
I thought it was Will Arnett. I heard it was Will Arnett.
No, the voice. Was Will. Okay. That's the rumor. It's not been confirmed, but that's the rumor that was right. Will playing doing the voice, but the actor in the suit have not released it. The only person I know that they've released other than SZA was the Joker was John Harp, I think was the guy's name, and
John Harp's gonna get a lot of phone calls, man.
He's been working a long time. I mean, he's got a career out there, because I looked him up. Yeah, I looked up his IMDb, and like he's got some credits on nothing like super movies. Wait a second, there was I'm trying to remember. There was one movie that I knew. I was like I know I've seen it before. And I know you have as well. God, what was it?
Think.
I'll have to look it up here in a little bit. But yeah, he was just like spot on for that. I've watched that thing a few times.
I've seen it like at least 50 times. It's so good. It's like, God damn, you captured Gotham in 2 minutes. And you're right. James Gunn, pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, because that's just...
That is your world right there.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. I mean, obviously, he'll never take that, unfortunately.
No. I think he's...
Just because of what it is.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to copy a commercial. I'm in charge of a studio.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason. Like, I think that he'd be like, "No, I'm not gonna do that. Not gonna take it." But there are ideas and there are things there that he could
borrow
really...
some elements. Definitely, yeah. Like the color palette, I would definitely do something like that. Very comic accurate too, and it didn't look cheesy. Like any of the costumes, it looked good.
Josh Harp is his name. That's his name. Okay. Yeah, Josh Harp.
Josh Harp, you did a good job.
Yeah, and then let me see here. There was one movie I know that we had seen that he did, and it was like, I'm pretty sure he was just a cameo in it, or like, you know, an extra. And did you ever see Yesterday?
That's the Beetle type movie. Yeah, I've seen Yesterday. Yeah,
yeah, he was in Yesterday. He was in Hail Caesar. I'm actually not a huge Beetle fan, but that concept of like whoever,
and he wrote all the Beatles songs. And it's a good movie. Like towards the end, where he meets John Lennon.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that pulls on the heart.
If you guys have never seen it, watch Yesterday. It's a really good little movie. And if you're a Beatles fan, you might like it. I may not like it, but check it out. It's a really good little play. I like movies like that. Like, what if they did not exist?
Yeah, I mean, that just came out of like left field. It was like, why is somebody making a what if story of the Beatles? I mean, just kind of threw you for a loop. But once you actually watch it, yeah, it's really, really great movie.
Especially if you like music bios. All right, bud, what you got?
Oh, my next one, huh?
Mm-hmm. You're on the spot.
Yeah. God, I got so many.
I have tons, but we can't fit it all in.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why I'm trying to be picky about which ones I want to throw in here.
Because we could be here all night. That and soundtracks. But soundtracks is going to be like...
I would have to go... And this is, I'm a massive fan of the original, and the original went off the rails really bad towards the last two movies, I think. Planet of the Apes.
Which one?
The original series, the 70s Planet of the Apes, dude. massive fan. They brought back the franchise with the new, you know, the new Planet of the Apes. So, I mean,
you didn't like those?
No, I love them. That's what I'm telling you. I'm a fan of the original, huge fan of the original. The last two movies on that, just garbage, just horrible. Oh,
and the series, didn't they have a series as well?
They had it was a 70s series, yeah. But you got to realize, but dude, a lot of shows only ran for 1-2 seasons in the 70s. Yeah, they just tried it and pulled it.
Oh,
I mean, you got to think like the Star Trek animated. You know, that we only ran for one season. And yeah, that was like nowadays when people look back at Star Trek, a lot of hardcore fans are like, no, that's part of canon. We got to count that. And they've actually used some of that in some of the more recent ones.
Did they have the original actors voice them too?
Everybody but Chekhov. Yeah. Everybody else was brought back. So, but like I said, I mean, absolutely love it. And I'm a huge 70s fan, like just the culture of that, the music back then. And I just like, I forget how old I was. I was like fucking in my teens and just fell deep into the Planet of the Apes hole. I'm even a fan of the Mark Wahlberg and that one, because to me, that's closest to the actual book. I've even gone far to read the book. So, but yeah, no, when they came out... Yeah, no, when they came out with the reboot, you know, with Planet of the Apes, I absolutely love that with Caesar and just the story they were telling. They're like, no, we're gonna go further and get more in depth. And instead of doing a prequel, the third movie in or fourth movie in, we're actually going chronologically here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you're talking 28 years between entries when it comes to those movies, and just how they.
I thought mine had like big gaps. You're going way back
again, like I said, probably one of my most favorite franchises. It's funny we've never done any of those movies.
Isn't that? I think we planned. No, we did have it on one of our lists. I do remember, and then something happened. We didn't end up doing it. But I think if you look back in our past, there was. I'm not sure if you kept it, but like somewhere else, we did have it on there for one of the months. We were going to do a Planet of the Apes movie. I just didn't know which one. I think we were arguing which one to do. Like it was like the Marky Mark one or the newer ones, I think. But it's out there. And yeah, by the way, those last two movies of the 70s, I think I'm starting to remember them. They were really
don't,
bad.
Don't think too hard, though. You don't want to remember those.
Weren't they like in New York City or something? Like they went to present day?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it was number three or four. I think it was the transition. They transitioned into present day
modern world.
But
and
then
like
what was happening is the monkeys were taking over in the final ones. And it just, the budgets got really bad. The stories were just not that great. I just, like I said, love the franchise, love the original franchise. But you know, when that towards the end of it, they lost themselves, you know, but with the current one, they revitalized it.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Even the newer one that came out this past year or last year was really good too. Like it's continuing that vibe, like with another Caesar.
Yep.
So, good choice. Let's see what I got. I'm gonna do a little reversal. You know how we're going bad movie first to the good movie? I'm gonna flip it now. I'm gonna flip it, and here's what I'm gonna start with: really funny comedy, which I freaking loved. I quote this movie all the time. Blue Steel. Oh. I say Blue Steel, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the original Zoolander. I love this movie. I don't think we ever talked about it. I think we talked about doing it, but it's so funny. It's so stupid. Has many great cameos in this film. Like, just quotable lines, like the gas station freaking scene where all they're dancing with the gasoline and they get thrown on fire. They burn to death. Like, Mugatu. Fucking... this guy, what's his name? Will Ferrell. Fucking phenomenal in this movie. So funny. So funny. And they made Zoolander 2. I mean, the funniest thing about that movie is when Mugatu gets out of jail. When he's taking off the big bulky bodysuit, just walks out. That was the funniest moment in the movie. The whole movie is just bad.
Yeah.
Just bad. They kill off his wife. He has his son that he has like a. He's. It's just bad. It's not even good. It's not even bad funny. It's just bad. Awful, 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 awful. I saw it once. I don't think I finished it. I think I saw the ending on like on TikTok or something or a YouTube clip. That's how bad it was. It was just garbage. Zoolander 1, phenomenal. Zoolander 2, horrible. I would put that up there with Batman and Robin, how bad it was.
Have they talked about a 3?
Oh, no. No. No?
No.
No.
Oh, no. Well, again, just recently, I mean, we just got the news that Emilio Estevez is working on a Young Guns 3.
I can't believe
it. Yeah, well, that one I heard that. I was like, wait a second. What are we doing? I thought they all were, you know. But yeah, it sounds like it's like a prequel to 2 because it's Christian Slater, Lou Diamond Phillips. They've got them coming back. So it almost sounds since Christian Slater's.
We got de-age him? I mean, like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, hey, the de-aging thing works. I mean, you look at what they did with Samuel L. Jackson, you know, especially when they did Captain Marvel, how well they de-aged him there.
Yeah.
I mean, the technology's there now to do a whole freaking movie, you know, just
dot
their face up and there's enough old footage of Slater, Phillips, and Emilio, you know, to...
You're really gonna have to play around with technology. I mean, is he? I think Emilio's directing it.
The press conference I saw was him talking about, you know, he's directing it. And
interesting choice. I mean, I guess. I mean, if it's good, but I mean, I don't think everybody was screaming for a Young Guns 3.
No, we saw the end. I mean, we got the tie up with the. With the controversy of brushing Bill, because you know nobody ever was really able to tell if he really was Billy the Kid or not, and then we got the real ending of Billy the Kid that you know the history books tell. So you got this really cool double ending, I thought, with that movie, because I was a supporter of the brushing Bill thought process.
That was one of the things that kind of bothered me, because like say you're him or not, like it was always like. Hinted that he was, and then it was like moments, oh, he's not, and then it's like, okay, and the trailer's just like, it's Billy the Kid. I'm like, wait a minute, is it or is it?
Time they did the movie and released it, they hadn't really done the try to prove that it wasn't him. I think it was after the movie's release that's when a lot of people came out of the woodwork, a lot of the conspiracy theorists came out and were trying to prove he was or vice versa wasn't. Because there was a lot of wounds that were identical, some of the facial, you know, just a lot of things that were, but then again, there are things that weren't. So,
yeah. Young Guns 3 coming to a theater near you. So what you got, man? What you got? Oh, you're laughing.
I'm going. Well, yeah, no, because I absolutely this is just a fun. These are just fun movies, period. And I don't want to say like the franchise died. They just did it, and then like did like an animated. Television series and then just stopped. But within recent years, it's been brought back. Jumanji.
Oh,
you know, okay. It's not that it went bad. I mean, we've been keep talking about, you know, shows or series that have gone bad. It didn't go bad. It just didn't go anywhere. Like I said, the only thing you had afterwards was they had an animated series, which was kind of fun, even... you know, but then like, you know, you have Jumanji, then you get, you know, Jumanji the Next Level. Where now you have a group of people going in and just, I think some great acting from The Rock. The Rock's not a great actor. He's not a Oscar winner, but some of the stuff he had to do to portray, especially in the first one, and then throw him into the second one, where he's basically having to play Danny DeVito.
That was funny.
Yeah, but then you know you look at you know how Jack Black is. You know he's playing you know a female character stuck in that body.
So funny. Jack Black's such a.
And then of course you know you got Kevin Hart. Just the whole cast was just amazing and so funny, and it just like revitalized it. And it's one of those things. It's like I know Jumanji was a hit, like the first one.
I think they both were. They both made dough.
Yeah, like but what happened to the first one? Like, you released it and you just stopped.
But,
I mean, the first one had a great cast. I mean, you got Williams. You had.
And I think maybe they just couldn't find a story for Robin Williams. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean,
that movie was really intricate to him. Like, there's the boy trapped in there. So, I mean, I could be wrong. But yeah. Like, yeah, that first one was good. And then, like you said, he just kind of sat there. And then they finally did something like, hey, we can make money off this by updating it and respecting the past. Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah, they showed the original. They showed the game still out there. But then they showed how it got moved into, you know, now a video game. You know,
it's funny how you're seeing a theme with all these movies we've said, respecting the past and embracing the future. That's what all reboots should do. Don't say, hey, I'm going to make my own thing and say, screw you. No, because some people like me and Mike, we remember that shit. So you're telling me we're doing a Dallas? Oh, that never happened. It was a dream. Like, come on.
Dallas.
Come on.
You just fucking aged yourself. Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow, I did. Oh, boy. Moving on. Oh, wait. I'm next.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. You are.
This is, I wouldn't say this is a controversial choice. I mean, it depends how you look at it. The first film in this franchise is probably, depending on who you talk to, they would say this is their favorite sci-fi movie of all time. And to me, it's a really good sci-fi movie. I liked it. My brother Chris, who's in California, he loves this movie. You know, I watched The Tears in the Rain, like the Rutger Hauer and Harrison Ford talking about Blade Runner, the first Blade Runner.
Yeah, and they kind of died off just like Jumanji did.
Jumanji
released it and then didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it just kind of sat there, had more of a cult following. Didn't make any money, like nobody saw it, but it's a great movie. It's a great movie about, like, basically, robots, feeling alive. And then they made Blade Runner 2049, which I really liked a lot. I felt they took the elements from that past movie and they kind of made it better. They kind of brought elements along of, like, what happens if a replicant and a human have a kid, which I thought was a very interesting concept. They brought in like a replicant, like sort of like a Harrison Ford and a Ryan Gosling. He played like the Decker type character, but he was a replicant, which I thought was, oh, okay. So this replicant is seeking out the guy. Cause I guess, if you saw the original, Harrison Ford was with, I forgot the actress's name. She was almost gonna be Catwoman, but I guess it was an innuendo that they were kind of like a thing. And then in this last movie that shows like they had a kid and he's got to search for the kid and like the story of AI and a relationship with humans. I liked it a lot. Like, everybody has a good scene in 2049. Even David Bautista's in the movie.
Oh, yeah,
he's only in it for the beginning, and that's it. You don't see him anymore, but his scene is so powerful, and it's really, and it shows that Bautista. We talk about actors like The Rock can't act. I think Bautista is going to be the best actor out of all.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah,
if he's not already, like he is, like he's got chops, man. And like, this is one of the first movies, like, shit, I got to take Dave a little bit more seriously. He's not just a big lunkhead. He's not just Drax. You know, there's more to him. There's depth to him. And that little, like, 5-10 minute, like experience he had with Ryan Gosling, it showed. And there's, like, a lot more scenes. Like, to me, the worst character in the movie is Jared Leto. So I think Jared Leto is just Jared Leto in every movie. Not that that's a bad thing. But in this movie, it's like, man, does he have to be the same type guy? But everything else, great. The effects, great. Everything added up. It's so good. So good. So Blade Runner to Blade Runner.
Definitely, yeah. I'm a fan of those. I mean, my next one I have, and I mean, I'm kind of hedging my bets here. Gonna say it.
Go ahead.
Star Wars.
Ooh.
Force Awakens. I mean, it's
really?
We haven't. I mean, you got to realize the last one thing we had, Return. We hadn't had anything really. Well, you had the prequels, but I mean, as far as like a continuation of moving forward, we hadn't had anything. And as much as every single one of my Gen X brothers will say something about it, they waited too long. So they're wanting to move forward with a story. And obviously those actors aren't there to play those characters we want them to play. I'm a massive fan of the Legends book series. I'm literally going through some of the ones I never did, recently. You know, you and I talked about, I'm reading the Dark the Darth Vader one, Dark Lord of the Sith. I love those stories. And yes, as much as I would want it to, Lucas sat on his hands. He moved on to do other things, and then he spent his time, you know, with ILM, and then, yes, then he went through and did the prequels, and then he began doing prequel rewrites and re-edits, and so, yeah, I mean, it falls on him as, you know, as much of a genius as he is, he's a world procrastinator, too, so.
He takes his time.
And I can't fault Disney. Disney saw an opportunity. Like, hey, we can revitalize this franchise. Let's buy it. They still had folks that leaned and were at the altar of Lucas, you know, that learned from it. So they kind of went to those folks. I love what it is. It's generational jump. And if you ask anybody that watched those movies first, that's their Star Wars. I mean, I know what our Star Wars is. I know what the Millennial Star Wars is. All right, the Millennial Star Wars is the prequels. And look what love the prequels have now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and I can see it happening for the sequel trilogy as well.
Ah, oh, man, that's gonna be tough.
We would have said the same thing about the prequels.
I mean,
for most people, a generation, seeing Rey with her saber for the first time, that's their Star Wars, you know. And I can't fault that. I love it for them. I love that they were that is what brought them into that community and then that world, and saw, you know, then it opened their eyes up to the rest. There's a girl recently on TikTok, she is a Gen Z I think she's Gen Z. And she's watching, she went through and watched the original series in release order, not chronological. I loved watching her emotional journey, you know, through that, because she watched the first three and then she went back and watched the prequels, and she's like, who's this guy? Who's that guy? Who's, you know, she doesn't know who Palpatine is, you know, because he really didn't like have that overlap. We knew because we had the books and things like that, kind of like, you know, filled us into that story. But it was so much fun to watch that.
Force Awakens, huh? Hold on, I don't know what the hell that was. It was strange. So what do you have? Do you have the Force? You have Star Wars or Force Awakens? You hate it?
No. That revitalized the franchise. Yeah, because we kind of lost. I mean, and again, during that time, we had a lot of animosity towards the prequels. And I feel that The Force Awakens kind of revitalized that. Granted, during that time, we also were getting the Clone Wars series, which was really keeping the core fan base. But again, you were even a hater on the
That first season was a little rough, but midway through season two, it's where it gets a little better. It starts adding the story, the layers of the Force, and it's coinciding with the battle that's going on, and ties together.
But to return to a big screen, that Force.
Hey, look, The Force Awakens is that it did. I would agree with you, because for me, I just remember the moment that we all went. I remember, like, to me, there was a line. That's the last time there was a literal line.
We did a couple movies that way, or during that time frame, yeah.
I think we were the last generation to have those movie lines like that before you can get assigned seating and all that. But like, that was I think I have it on my Facebook page, so I have to look for it. But literally, we were out there. It was the opening night. We all went, and there was a line literally to the mall. And I just remember just walking in there and the joy of this. And you're right. It brought it back. I like The Force Awakens. I do. I like it a lot for what it brought. Just that revitalization of the Star Wars. You're like, yeah, we're back.
And it introduced a new generation to a new story, but it also paid homage to the old. Yeah, to the old. And again, maybe not what we felt as what it should have been, but I think that they were the best representations of those older characters, because they were just like us. They were beaten down, tired, had a divorce, have a broken family with an estranged kid. It's like every generation, a Gen X like dad generation. I know. I was like, I think a lot of people were angry about it because they're like, hey, they're feeling like insulted. Like, wait, are you making a movie about me?
Yeah, like they're holding a mirror right to you. Like, yeah. This is you. Like, yeah. What? Oh my God. But it's in Star Wars. No. Like, I agree with you, buddy. I agree with you on that. I like that.
All right, guys, we've got tons we could do. Like I said, like we said earlier, we could be here forever. But reach out, go dig into some stuff, and find some like franchises that have come back around. I mean, you know, so there are some franchises that just stopped. Like we talked about a couple here that just stopped and then they picked up again. So you know, you got those, and then you do have the ones that you know somebody took a knife to it and killed it, but it's been reborn again, and we've seen it. You know, we talked about again, like I said earlier, Cobra Kai was kind of the catalyst to like television shows doing that and bringing back old things. You know, we didn't even hit on, you know, really, we kind of talked about shows a little bit last week, but like really digging in. I mean, you find some old TV shows that have come back and they're actually good.
Cheers to Frasier. There you go. Like cheers to Frasier. Like Frasier's one of your favorite shows. That literally was like a jump. Like, Cheers, great show. Frasier, probably, I would say, a better show. Because, like, you don't have that huge camaraderie you have with, like, everybody at the bar. But, like, it's more like, you know, a family thing. Yeah. And it was still funny. It was still just up there. One of the movies I was going to mention, I was going to say Top Gun to Top Gun Maverick. There's another one.
Yeah, Top Gun, Star Trek. I mean, like I said, I was on the fence with Star Wars or Star Trek. And I know we've got a sensitive spot for Star Wars, so I went that route. All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out next time. We will continue the comeback stories. What are we looking at next time?
Let's see. Well, we did movies. We did comics. I think we should do music. I think what we're going to do is music. Bands who had a bad first album. Or the reverse, a great first album, like dip the second. Maybe we'll do that.
Well, you got to look. I mean, you got to realize you got a lot of bands that have that sophomore curse. You know, they get that sophomore album curse where they just die. But sometimes they come back. Sometimes something happens.
Something happens, something magical. They leave for a while and they dream it up all over again and they release these classic albums. So that's what we're going to do next time. We're going to do albums by bands that basically did a... Let's just say they didn't do as well in their last album. It could be last or first album. I'm not sure how the order is going to go yet. But I'm thinking right now it's going to be we released this really bad album, but then we came back with this album. I'm like, oh, damn. So that's what we're doing next time.
All right. Well, we will see you guys next time.
See ya.